Hello and good evening from Yerushalayim HaKodesh. Welcome to the shiur on keeping time, telling time in the ancient world and its halachic implications for then and for today. Time, of course, was essential, as is today, for all our mitzvahs that can only be done by day, mitzvahs that can only be done by night, mitzvahs that can only be done in certain parts of the day, such as Zman Kriyat Shema, which runs to 3 hours, Zman Tefillah, which runs to 4 hours, or the Ever to Chatzos. All these things are dependent on time, and we're going to try to discuss how this was done in the ancient world before they had sophisticated clocks like we have today with the atomic clocks, where we can actually pinpoint seconds and fractions of seconds. In the ancient world, of course, this is impossible. We'll see what they did, and of course there are halachic implications today based on what was done then. We know what's done today. We're going to start with Alos HaShachar, which is the beginning of the day. And for that already the Gemara mentions, the Gemara has reference to it already on that base. Amar Aleph and Pesachim, Lameir V'Akroyo, the Gemara says when it starts getting light, then that's already the day. And as we'll see, of course, most of the time is focused on the sun. But how do they know when the day begins for Alos HaShachar, which is before sunlight? Alos HaShachar is dawn, and as we said, halachically, that's the beginning of the day. All mitzvot satluis b'yom lechatchila. The Mishnah says in Megillah, you're supposed to wait until Netzach Amah, until the sun rises. But with the Eved, if you did it from Alos HaShachar, you're Yotze. So how did they know when Alos HaShachar is? So the Gemara in Yoma, in the beginning of the third perek, the Gemara says that Amalem Memuna Tzuru Migez Manashchita. The Memuna, the one in charge in the Beis Hamikdash, says, go and see if it's time to shech the carbon tamid, because you can only do carbon tamid by day and not by night. Imigia Ra'om Barkoi. So the Memuna, as the Gemara explains, he goes up to the roof by the Heichal, or one of the nearby walls. He goes up and he sees, if he sees that the that it's already Alos HaShachar, he says Barkoi, which means Heyer V'Hivrik HaShachar. The dawn is already shining. And Archib Chavron, as the Gemara says, anyway, what's clear from this is that this was done by a simple method of visual observing. They would go and observe it visually. They'd see that it's time for Alos HaShachar, and that's how they know that's Alos HaShachar. When is it possible? When is Alos HaShachar? What's it based on? And by the way, this has halachic implications for not only for Pesach, but also for baking matzahs. How long you're allowed to keep the? How long it doesn't become chametz? 18 minutes or more? Again, lamaisa, we go 18 minutes. I don't get any wrong ideas, but it's all based, it all gets, the source for this all gets back to this, as we'll see, the whole Gemara Pesachim is interlocking into this time concept. So they would go up to the roof, and he would see when it's Alos HaShachar, and that's how we know that's Alos HaShachar. When is it possible to see anything? If you stand today, when is the beginning of the first light? When does it come? So, I want to mention Rav Zalman Koren Shlita, who's a top expert on astronomy, and gave me a whole shiur today. But he told me that astronomers claim when the sun is actually 18 degrees below the horizon. When the sun is 18 degrees below the horizon, that is the earliest actual anyone can see light. But he told me the mice, it's not like that. The mice, it's 16 degrees plus. As we'll see, the big difference in the distance of the meal, etc. And as we said, the Gemara says in Pesachim, in the third parak, the Gemara talks about dough. If you don't know if it became chametz or not, what's a cheresh?
Um,
second. Gemara talks about Vatzakacher Shemesh Kiyotibo Gemara Memvav Amar Aleph Shemesh Kiyotibo Shehechmet Tereza Osir. If you have dough, you don't know if it became chametz or not. You left it. So if you left some other dough and it became chametz, so then you know this is also. What happens if he doesn't have any other dough to compare it to? The distance that a person can walk from Migdal Nunya until Tiberia, which is a mil, which is a mile. So he must have a name of mil. Why don't we just outright say mil? A kamash from the shir, the mil came in Migdal Nunya, but Tiberia. If you want to know how much a mil is, it's a distance, a walking distance from Migdal Nunya to Tiberia. Interestingly, in the Gemara in Megillah, you have also another din of a mil, and that's Ayaras Esmuchos, to Irmuk of Choma from the days of Yeshua Ben Nun, a wall that's a city that's adjacent to a walled city, and there it also talks about a mil, and then the Gemara brings a different example. The Gemara brings an example of Chamson to Tiberia, from the city of Chamson to Tiberia. So first of all, why does the Gemara here bring Migdal Nunya to Tiberia? While in Megillah, the Gemara brings a different city, brings Chamson to Tiberia. So, a very interesting answer from the Shach HaSareh. The Shach HaSareh says like this. He says that we know that a mil is 2,000 amas, which is an amma. So you have different sizes of amma. You can have an amma of 5 tvachim, and you can have an amma of 6 tvachim. So how do you determine what's the mil, if it's an amma, 2,000 amas of 5 tvachim or 6 tvachim? By the way, the word mil comes from mile, comes from millennium, 1,000. Mile means 2,000 steps. That's where the word mil comes from. Tchum Shabbos, to the Gemara in Erevin says, the person's walking, he doesn't know when Shabbos begins, when Tchum Shabbos ends, he takes 2,000 steps, and he knows that he got to the Emphasis Beninus. So he says like this, he says that, how do you know which Amma it is? He says, you always go to Chumra. It's Chumra, you go to Chumra, and you have a mil of Amas, 2,000 Amma with 5 Tvachim. But when it comes to Megillah, over there it's not a chumrah either way, and there it goes by six. There it goes by Amos of six tvachim. The Chazon Ish simply says there were different time periods, and sometimes the cities grew, and sometimes they shrunk. And this Gemara, the distance from Migdal Nunya to Tiberia was a mil. And that Gemara in Megillah, the distance from Chamson to Tiberia was a mil. Chamson, by the way, is a city which is south of Tiberia, and Migdal Nunya is a city which is north of Tiberia. Anyway, back to our Gemara. We're talking over here about the distance of milin, a miles. For that, we have the Gemara over here, and that's at the Gimel Amud Beis. It's a whole sugi. It's a very complicated sugi. We're not going to go into the entire sugi, but we'll say the Ikri Advarim. And the Gemara over here says, and that's at the Gimel Amud Beis, Ezi Dech Chokko, Min Amadiyam V'lachutzich Midosal Haruach, Divrei Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says, a person traveling on Erev Pesach, if he's Derech Chokko, so then he doesn't have to come into Yerushalayim and be Makor Korban Pesach. He can push it off to Pesach Sheni. But if he's not Derech Chokko, so then he's got to come in and be Makor. So Rabbi Kiva says, what is the Derech Chokko? How do we know when a person is actually, what is the cutoff point? So he says, Min HaModiyin V'Lachutz. A person's traveling, past the city of Modiyin. So then, if he passed the city of Modiyin, so then he's already close to Yerushalayim and he's got to go in. If he didn't pass the city of Modiyin, he's Derech Chokko. By the way, the Gemara is talking about, if you're in Eretz Yisrael today, it's road 443, which was a very ancient route from the time of the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash, person traveling from Yafo, so it passes Modiin, and from there the Beit Choron is sent to Yerushalayim. If you pass Modiin, you're already considered Derech Chokko. Amar Ula, so the Gemara says, Min HaMadim LeYerushalayim Chamisha Asar Milin. From Modiin to Yerushalayim, it's a total of 15 mil. How much can a person walk in one day? 10 parsos. So the Gemara says, a person can walk a whole day, 10 parsos, from Alos HaShachar until Tzeis HaKochavim, total, which is 10 parsos is 40 million. But from Alos, Alos HaShach HaTol Neitz, he walks 5 million, and from Shkir Zecham HaTol Tzei Sekechov, another 5 mil, that leaves him 30 mil for the entire day. Of it, 15 is half. So in other words, you measure derech chokah where a person from the beginning of Chatzos can actually make his way up to Yerushalayim. The Gemara goes into a whole sugya over here at length, and the Gemara disproves this measurement and brings a different brisa. Kama malchadim b'nei nabiyam eser pasos. Malos hashachad anetzacham abas milim, meshkei sacham arzai sakachovim abas milim. How much is in our from Alos Hashachar to say from Alos Hashachar to Zricha is 4 mil, and from Shkia to Zizikam is 4 mil, and the whole a total a person can walk Ezer Pasos. So this is the key to understanding when Alos Hashachar is, because the Gemara says that the walking distance that a person can. From Alos to Zricha is 4 mil. So if we'll say, if we take a day of 12 hours, and from Zricha to Shkia, which gives us 720 minutes, a person can walk in this time period 10 parsos, which means each parsa takes him 72 minutes. And a parsa is 4 mil. So if each parsa takes him 72 minutes and a parsa is 4 mil, so then that leaves him exactly 18 minutes for each mil. So the walking distance of a mil takes 18 minutes, and based on that, of course, we know the halacha by matzah that you can't have it more than 18 minutes. Every package of matzah says chai regoim on it, 18 minutes. It's based on this Gemara here that the malach of a mil comes out calculated to be 18 minutes. But of course, this isn't all unanimous. This isn't so simple. And the question is, how do we calculate? Do we calculate from the Zricha? Why don't we calculate the Eser Pasos from the Alos HaShachar? And if we calculate the Eser Pasos from the Alos HaShachar, so then what we have from Zricha to Shkia, all we have is 8 Pasos. We have 1 Pasos, the 4 mil, from Alos to Zricha. And then we have 8 mil from Zricha to Shkia, and then we have another mil from Shkia to Tesach Kachov. And if we do that, we have 720 minutes from Zricha to Shkia, and we're talking about an average day, where each hour is 60 minutes. That would give us instead of a 72-minute mil, that would give us a 90-minute parsa. And if that gives us a 90-minute parsa, we divide up into 4, we have 22 and a half. So that would get the distance of a mil is 22 and a half minutes and not 18 minutes. So this is a whole machlokas aposkim, and the machlokas aposkim originates from this Gemara over here, how we calculate the thing. So back to what we said was speaking, when is Alos HaShachar? So as I mentioned to you, Rav Koren told me that astronomers claim from 18, when the sun is 18 degrees below the horizon, but the Maisi says a little 16 plus, and this is the same difference whether the mil turns out to be a 22 and a half minute mil or an 18 minute mil. If you go with 16 plus degrees beneath the horizon, so then you're fine for an 18 minute mil. In other words, that is about 72 minutes before Zricha. But if you go with 18 degrees below the horizon, so then you're talking about 90 minutes before Zricha. So, as we see, it gets very complex. One is telling the other how we get it, but as we mentioned, the Alos HaShachar was a thing that was able to be observed, and if we go with an 18 minute mil, so then it's 72 minutes before Zricha. If we go with a 22 and a half mil, so then it goes, so then it's 90 minutes before Zricha. Likewise, it would have the same implications when we talk about Tzeisah Kochavim. How far is Tzeisah Kochavim from the Shkia? So the Gemara says the same distance that the Alos HaShachar from Zricha is the same distance from Shkia to Tzeisah Kochavim. So if you go with an 18 minute mil, so Tzeisah Kochavim would be 72 after Shkia. We'll get to that in a moment. But if you go with the 22 and a half minute mil, and like the sheet of the Tosas read, so then Tzeisah Kochavim is 90 minutes after Shkia, because the 4 mil are 90 minutes after Shkia, because you go with a mil of 22 and a half. This Gemara, before we go on back to our time setting, this Gemara over here, the Gemara says over here that a person can travel from Alos until Zricha. He can travel 4 mil, and from Shkia Sachama to Tzetzet Kom another 4 mil. This seems to imply that Bein HaShemashos is the distance of 4 mil, which will be either 72 minutes or 90 minutes. But the problem with this is that the Gemara Shabbos, where the Gemara Shabbos discusses the whole issue of how much Bein HaShemashos is, in the second parak, in the end of the second parak, over there the numbers are considerably shorter. Over there the numbers talk about either 2/3 of a mil or 3/4 of a mil, which means 13 and a half minutes from Shkia is already night, is already Tzetzet Kochav. So how do we reconcile these two Gemaras? So Rabbeinu Tam, the famous Rabbeinu Tam Shita, based on this, is that there's two Shkias actually, there's two sunsets, and by the way, that's what the Shulchan Aruch Paskins and the Shabbos like Rabbeinu Tam. He doesn't bring any other Shita. Although it's interesting that Sfardim and Maran HaRav Avadi Yosef always says that the Bet Yosef is Marad HaRad Yisrael, and you always go by the... But when it comes to this, the Sfardim today do not go by the Shita Rabbeinu Tam. They go to Hakel, and like we, that we're makpid that the Shkia is actually sunset, and we wait in Eretz Yisrael the minute, we wait 32 to 35 minutes after Shkia Keshita Sagaonim. And that's how the Shulchan Aruch passing is like a random time. There's two Shkias, and the first Shkia, when the sun actually disappears beneath the horizon, is the first Shkia, and then it's still day for quite a while, and only from that 72 minute period, only the last 2/3 of a mil or 3/4 of a mil is Bein HaShemashos. That is Rabbeinu Tam Shita. The Gra is vehemently opposed to Rabbeinu Tam Shita, unlike others on him also. But the Gra is the first one that I know that talks about what do we do with this Gemara over here, where the Gemara says that has his own explanation for this Gemara. The Gemara says a person can walk from Shkia Sechama till Tzetzet Kochav, he can walk 4 mil. So what do we do with this? So the Gra says, brilliant. The Gra is in Shnos Eliyahu and Brachos. He says like this. He says, really, the sun sets in the west, and after sunset, so the western side of the sky is still lit up, while the eastern side of the sky is already getting dark. So the Gra says that after 2/3 of a mil or 3/4 of a mil, so then the eastern side of the sky is dark and stars are already visible, and that's already Tzetzet Kochav. But the Gemara in Pesachim by Yos and Tzadik Gimel and Tzadik Daled is talking about how much a person can travel. A traveler, he continues traveling as long as there's any light outside. Even though halachically it can be night, because stars are visible in the eastern side of the sky, so it's already night wherever you are, but the traveler, as long as he has some light, he'll continue traveling. So the Gemara over here is not talking about the halachic distance between Shkia and Tzetzet Kochav. The Gemara is talking about the practical application. How much can a person travel? He will travel even though halachically it's night already, because he has some light in the western part of the sky when the sun sets. But Lemaisa, once there's some stars visible on the eastern side of the sky, that's already considered Tzetzet Kochav. So that is the way the Gra answers up the apparent steer between these two Gemaras. Okay, so back to what we said. Alos HaShachar is dawn when it's obviously something that is visible, as we see from the Gemara in Yoma. The person was able to go up and point down, say, "Hey, over here, Kashachar." It's the beginning of light, and that's the beginning of day. So how did they tell time the rest of the day? We know there's a Mishnah. I have this in the Hebrew sources over here, or I think I do. In the Hebrew sources over here, 4.1, we have a Mishnah in Kalim, and the end of the Mishnah, Shlosh Advarim Rabbi Tzadok Metamei V'Chachom Metarim. There are three things that Rabbi Tzadok is Metame, and Chacham says Tar. One is Mas Meshal Shulchani, Varon Shal Grusos, and the final thing is Mas Meshal Evan HaShos. Rabbi Tzadok Metame V'Chachom Metarim. The nail of an Evan HaShos. What is Evan HaShos? Evan HaShos is a sundial, And the nail on the sundial, the nail is the thing that's put on top of the sundial, and based on where the shadow of the nail is, that's how they knew the time. This was a very efficient, the most efficient method that they had in the ancient world how to tell time, based, of course, on the sun. And sundials have been found in archaeological and we'll soon see in historical context, so we know. Interesting to mention, two sundials are found. One was found in the Jewish quarter, in the ruins from the days of the Second Beis HaMikdash, and another one was found actually in the southern wall excavations right next to the Har HaBayis. So two sundials which we know were used during the days of the Beis HaMikdash, and how much halachic weight archaeological evidence carries, that's not an issue that we're going to discuss today, but the archaeological evidence, the sundial, by the way, which was found near the southern wall, in the southern wall excavations right next to Har HaBayis, has a menorah engraved in the back of it. One of the few menorahs we have engraved from the days of the Second Beis HaMikdash. So this sundial, and we'll soon show it if it appears good on the video. I have a book in my hand. This is the Hebrew version, a very interesting book. It's called Vitruvius on Architecture. Vitruvius was an architect in Rome in the first century, in the days of Augustus, Julius Caesar, perhaps. This is a very interesting book because what he calls 10 Books on Architecture is where he we know what people were thinking in an architect school in Rome in those days. When we compare Hordus' construction in Eretz Yisrael, it's clear that, I don't know if he used this book, but it's clear that the ideas that are expressed in this book are the ideas that he actually used also. So in book 9 on architecture, Vitruvius goes into whole detail of how to set up a proper sundial. And in this Hebrew version, which was recently printed by Professor Ronnie Reich, the one I'm pointing to over here, this is a sundial that was found in the Jewish quarter, which is one that Professor Ronnie Reich himself was digging there. I don't know if he actually found it, but it was found over there in the Jewish quarter. This is a sundial, one of a few, as I mentioned, that one of a few that were found from that time period. So we know that the use of sundials, as we see from the Mishnah, it appeared in Masmur Shel Avin HaShaos, and has been found in archaeological evidence. And he goes through the whole thing of how the sundial, you have to make 12 marks for 12 hours, which of course would imply that the hours begin from the hours begin from Zricha, from when the sun rises, and not from Alos HaShachar. This is a very famous issue known as the Machlokas between the Magen Avraham and the Gra, but the truth of the matter is the Machlokas goes back way before that, the issue of how to measure the 12 hours of the day. When we're talking about the hours are not, in most cases, are not set hours like we have today, 60-minute hours, they're shozmanios, which means they go by percentage of the day, 1/12 of the day is an hour. So, in an average, if the day is like around the period of the equinox, like it is now, so then each hour would actually total 60 minutes. But in the summer, when the days get longer, and the example they use is places where the days actually extend to 18 hours, so then each hour would be an hour and a half. And in the winter, when the day is short to 6 hours, so then each hour would be half an hour. That does a show of manios. And the issue is what do we take into calculation? Do we take into calculation from when the sun rises this week until the sun sets, or from Alos HaShachar until Tzeis HaKochav? So what's known, as I said, the machlokes between the Magen Avraham and the Gra, is the Magen Avraham is of the opinion that you measure from Alos HaShachar until Tzeis HaKochavim, while according to the Gra, you measure from Zricha to Shkia. And of course the difference, when is you have, that's why you have two Zman Kriya Shmas. Is it Zman Kriya Shma in the Magen Avraham, which is earlier, because the day begins earlier, or the Gra, which is later, and likewise with Zman Tfilo. Again, as I said, we're not coming to Paskin Halacha from archaeological evidence. Rav Koren brought me half a dozen liars that it goes from Zricha to Shkia, despite the fact that the day, as we mentioned, halachically begins from Alos HaShachar. the day is Allah afon los hashachar. If a person does any mitzvah that's got to be done by day, like lulav, tzkiyah shofar, as we mentioned in the opening, the chatchila you have to wait till night. But if you do it from the from alos hashachar, it's day. Nonetheless, he says that I kept on asking him that question. He says that doesn't matter. But the mice, one of his very strong rights is the equinox. And the equinox means that the day, the night and the day are equal, and the equinox will fall on the beginning of Tkufas Nisan and the beginning of Tkufas Tishrei, which in the Gregorian calendar is March 21st and September 21st, the beginning of spring and the beginning of autumn. And the equinox has an even day, so that's only if you calculate it from the Zricha to the Shkia, not if you calculate it from Alos HaShachar to Tzeis HaKochavim. Interestingly, the Yerushalmi in the beginning of Brachos also uses this as a raya to how we calculate with Ben Hashmoshes, etc., what we add in and what we don't, based on this philosophy that the days have to be equal at the equinox, and if you're going to add an extra, it's not going to be equal. So this idea is already appears in the Yerushalmi in the beginning of Brachos. The first sugya in the Yerushalmi in Brachos is discussing Ben Hashmoshes. Okay. So we have the sundial. By the way, if you want to see, if you're in Eretz Yisrael today, there's a very famous sundial on Rehov Yafo next to the Machne Yehuda Shuk, Beit Knesset Zaharei Chama on Rehov Yafo. You can see a sundial still in use today. But in other words, this concept of keeping time by sundial existed until a couple hundred years ago. And even into the 20th century. Nonetheless, people didn't walk around probably the whole day with sundials in their pockets, and it was very common for people to be confused with the exact time. We know from the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Yud Aleph on the base, where the Gemara talks about how much a person, to when can a person eat chametz on Erev Pesach. So you can eat chametz for the first 5 hours, and you burn it. You eat chametz for the first 4 hours, and the fifth hour you don't eat it, but you can sell it, and in the beginning of the sixth hour you burn it. The Gemara goes through a length over here what this is based on, how much a person can make a mistake. Midaraisa, from the end of the sixth hour, from chatzos, is when you're not allowed to eat chametz, and Chacham Orfei, that a person would make a mistake. Now, making a mistake between the sixth hour and the seventh hour is not such a simple mistake, because as the Gemara says, and the sun in the sixth hour is in the east, and in the seventh hour it's in the west. So it's very easy for a person to know at least that of when, if it's before noon or afternoon. So the Gemara says, you know, it can happen on a cloudy day. It can happen that that a person will make a mistake. So Gemara is based on the base that on a cloudy day you can't see the sun. So a person can make a mistake. How much can a person make a mistake? So that's the whole sugya over here. Rashi learns very interestingly. Why is Rav Yehuda machmir that you cannot eat chametz from the end of the fourth hour, but when it comes to hanah, he's only machmir not to eat it from not to have enough from the fifth hour. So Rashi learns that when it comes to achila, we're choshish for the meat, and the meat can make a mistake even 2 hours. But when it comes to hanah, we're not choshish for the meat, but we're only choshish for the rope. And when it comes to 1 hour, the majority of people can make a mistake. So we see that the concept of people not knowing exactly when a certain hour begins and ends, and that's also with the whole sugya that the Gemara brings over here from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, when two Edom come to testify, that something happened, a crime happened, they can be confused. In other words, one guy can say it happened in the second hour, another person can say it happened in the third hour, and they're actually testifying on the same thing. It's just that the people didn't have watches in those days, and that's where they made that's how they made the mistake. The Gemara Anon Ches talks about b'makav of the carbon Pesach. Tamid Nishchat, the whole sugya, when do you mark of the carbon Pesach? And although the Korban Pesach was done the Chatchila later on, B'shmona Mechtzah, B'korban B'tisha Mechtzah, but if it came out on Erev Shabbos, so the Tumah Shebein Abayim, the Tumah in the afternoon was done B'sheish Mechtzah, 6.5 hours into the day, and right after that the Korban Pesach. The Maskana of the Gemara, on Minchas Amar Aleph, is that Midaraisa from Michinotu Tzilei Arev, from when the shadow already starts going, when the sun is already in the west and sending the shadow to the east, so that's already time that you can actually be makav the Korban Tumah. But since the Korban Tumah has got to be the last Korban of the day, so we're not makav it too early because we want to give people opportunity to bring Korbanos. But when Erev Pesach comes out on Erev Shabbos, that we have to do the tzliya, we have to do the roasting of the Korban Pesach before Shabbos, so therefore we do it the earliest possible. Why did they set the time for 6.5 hours and not for 6 hours? So this is a whole machlokas in the Rishonim. Rashi learns over here. Rashi says because from 5.5 hours till 6.5 hours, the sun is on top and it's not yet time. There is no shade in the east. Only after 6.5 hours then you have shade in the east. So now Rashi seems to be learning that before that is actually not time for the Korban Tumah. But this is a big machlokas. Other Rishonim learn that really from Chatzos it's already considered afternoon, and theoretically it could be makav of the Korban Tumah. The only issue is that again it's very hard to precisely pinpoint when the in other words people can make mistakes. That's why they said to wait another half an hour. But Lamaisa from But Lamaisa from noon is actually the beginning of the second half of the latter half of the day, and it can be marked with Korban Tumah. This can have halachic implications, as we'll see. The Gemara in Yoma says, and this we have on our Hebrew source page Yoma Kofches 3.1 Kofches Chazos Amav Safra Slosid Avram Mechim Meshachri Kosli. The tefillah of Avram Avinu, which is talking about Mincha. So you can ask, why is it talking about Mincha? We know that Avraham Avinu was Masakin Shachris, and Yitzchak was Masakin Mincha. So Tosfos Yeshanim already asked the question then Yoma. Tosfos says that Avraham Avinu davened Shachris and Mincha, but he didn't establish it as a chiyuv. It was only Yitzchak Avinu who established Mincha as a chiyuv. Tosfos Avraham Achim Meshachri Kosli. The walls, when they become black, which means when the shadow of a wall facing east, when that part of the wall is in the shade, so then you can already daven mincha. Then you can daven mincha. So on this, the Gemara asks, let's give a few lines. Ela Marove Yisvakashele Ditan. It says Chala Reb Zachon Hezrav Shabbos Nishchat B'sheish Mechtzah B'kar B'sheva Mechtzah. When Erev Pesach comes on Erev Shabbos, the Shechtu Korban Tumah at 6.5 hours. So why not v'nishchatim achim shachri kosli? Why don't we shecht it from 6 hours when the eastern part of the wall is in the shade? So why don't we shecht it from 6 hours? Why do we wait to 6.5? So the Gemara says, my kushya. Maybe the walls of the Beis HaMikdash only get the shade on the eastern side only after 6.5 hours and not 6. Why? Since the walls are not exactly straight, the walls are a little slant, so therefore in order for them to be in the shade you have to it's only after 6.5 hours and not 6 hours. Interestingly, the Gemara is talking about the walls of the Eichol almost definitely, but like we know in the Kosel, that the Kosel is built in such a way that each stone, the Kosel Maravi, each of the original Herodian stones, each course of stones, the higher up you go, the more they are inside. In other words, each one withdraws from the previous one by about half an inch. So this, that the Gemara says that the walls were not Mechav Nituva, so we see this also in archaeology. So the noon begins either 6.5 hours. By the way, this has halachic implications. The Yevet, if a person for some reason did not daven Shachris till Dalet Shoros, he can daven the Chatzos. The question is, if he missed Chatzos, what happens in the next half hour? Does he have to wait to daven mincha first and then he can daven shachas if he's an ones, or can he daven until 6.5 hours? I'm not here to pass an halacha. I'm just saying that this depends on the status of that extra half an hour. Is that extra half an hour still part of the original part of the day, or is it right at the beginning of the new part of the day, except that since we don't know precisely, we wait half an hour. The zman mincha is half an hour after chatzos. Okay. Also, discuss a couple other issues over here. Well, one more thing which is worthy of discussion is, okay, Shkia, we know exactly when it happens. You see the sun setting, and yes, this observance also mentioned in Shalom in the beginning of Brachos, and Zeseh Kochavim are three stars, Beinonim. Today, the astronomers categorize stars as six different types of sizes of stars, and the Gemara have three sizes, so each two sizes are one in Chazal's definition, and you're talking about Kochavim Beinonim, medium-sized stars, and the Gemara again gives the thing if it's two-thirds of a mil or three-quarters of a mil after Shki. So it says that Kochavim is fairly easy too, but when it comes to eating karbonos, so karbonos that are eaten only for one day and one night, Chachamim said you can only eat them until Chatzos. Why? Mishnah, beginning of Brachos, first Mishnah, Delahachik is Adam and Aveir. Because a person, Midaraisa, you can eat it till Alosa Shachar. But since a person might make a mistake and continue eating after Alosa Shachar, and he'll be eating Noisar, so therefore Chacham said, don't eat it till, only until Chatzos, not after Chatzos. The question is, how were they able to distinguish when is Chatzos, if they didn't have clocks? So this is a complicated thing. Rav Koren said, look, if it's Rabbanon, in cases where it's Rabbanon, so okay, the people, that's exactly the point. Since it's impossible, Chacham said, yeah, you can't eat after Chatzos, but the Yemen, if you eat after Chatzos, so if you didn't know, you weren't over, Nisa Daraisa. But we have a machlokas in the end of Gemara and Pesachim of to when can eat the Korban Pesach. Machlokas are Blazer Ben Azariah and Rabbi Kiva, and that's in the Mishnah in the end of Arvei Pesachim. It's in the Gemara. A Pesach Chatzos and Tamar Seidan. Daf Kuf Chof on the base. Mamash at the end of Gemara Pesachim. Have Machlokas Rav Blazer Ben Azariah and Rabbi Kiva. Rav Blazer Ben Azariah says you can only eat the Korban Pesach with the rice until Chatzos, and Rabbi Kiva says you can eat till Alos Hashachar. So if you can only eat with the rice until Chatzos, how do people know when Chatzos is? And you have the Gemara in the beginning of Brachos, that the Gemara gives a simon for the Ashmara Rishona and the Ashmara Shnia and the Ashmara Shlishis. The night's divided into three Ashmaras, and the Gemara says, the Gemara goes through a list of events that can give you clues when the first Ashmara, when the second, when the third. And the Gemara says, well, what do I need a simon? If it's the beginning of the Ashmara, I don't need a simon for the first Ashmara because that's the beginning of the night. And if it's the end of the Ashmara, I don't need a simon because the end of the third one is day. So the Gemara says, no, he's giving the simon for the end of the first Ashmara, and the beginning of the third, and the middle of the second. So that could be one clue of how to have Chatzos. But the only other, but that, of course, those things aren't exact. You hear a donkey braying or stuff like that. I don't know, if you live in the urban area, you probably haven't heard, but if you live in other places, you sometimes can hear them at any times of the night. And I one time saw a guy who had a strange solution in a very chashuv booklet, he wanted to solve the problem, what to do in the Arctic Circle. In the Arctic Circle in the winter, there's no day, in the summer, there's no night, so how do you know when it's morning? So he had a solution, and no sin asech bivino, Hashem gives the rooster, gives him bina to call out when the day begins. He says, go up there to the Arctic Circle, take with you a rooster, and wait till he starts screaming and yelling, and then you'll know that that's the beginning of the day, because I know it's not a second day. I wanted to tell him the expression of the Gemara in Chulin, Midvar of Nika, Shaina, Baki, Vitana, Gurdan. And if he thinks that a rooster will only sound off what has light, it's only going to sound off at the beginning of the halachic day, well, let him try it, but it's not going to happen. In today's day and age, when there's electricity around, the roosters can be making noise all night. And in ancient times, it was only in the morning when they make noise. People took it as an alarm clock. Rabbi Gemara Brachas, Rabbi Kiva took it. So how did they know when Chatzos is? The only real way that they could know when Chatzos is if they were actually barking in the stars. And they knew, and that of course changes depending on the month they're in, when the whole zodiac system, as the Gemara in Bar Matzia, Chikai Mikima Rashayu, when they know when the person comes in and that the constellation is setting. So you had to be a pretty big bucky. That wasn't a set thing. It changed depending on the season of the year. That's the only real way that they could have known when Chatzos was. What else do we have? One of the issues which is raised today is what do you do in a place where you have a nearby mountain and the sun sets? Now the sun can be setting in such a case early in the afternoon. If you're living next to a mountain, you have a mountain to your west, you will be in the sun will be behind the mountain pretty early in the afternoon. When does, halachically, when is that considered night? So this is a complicated subject. Recently, Svarim have come out on it. We have the Gemara over here, the Shabbos Kuf Yud Ches. Shabbos Kuf Yud Ches, where the Gemara says, V'amar Rabbi Yossi, Yichalki Mimachnis Shabbos V'Tzivario, U'Motzia Shabbos V'Tzipori. Rabbi Yossi said, Mechelik should be from those people who are Mekabel Shabbos in Tzivario, and Motzi Shabbos in Tzipori. So Rashi says, "Machnis Shabbos with Tveria of Neishi Yamuko. Tveria is very deep. Umachshechas mibod yom, and it gets dark while it's still daylight. Usegurim shechashecho, and they think that it's dark. In other words, it's really not dark. The sun sets. Let's say the sun setting in normal places at 6 o'clock. In Tveria, already 5 o'clock, the sun is hiding behind the mountains. So the people think that it's already the sunset, and therefore the Mekabel Shabbos. Matzia Shabbos is Tzipori, is a Shabbos Brosh Ahar. Tzipori is sitting on top of a mountain. So the visibility to the west is clear, and therefore they can actually see where the sun set for a long time. There's light, and therefore they are Machmer. I shouldn't say the word Machmer, but therefore they're Machal Atzis. Okay, this Sugya with Tveria and Tzipori is crucial for knowing. I have over here a quote from two Yerushalmis. Two Yerushalmis over here, Yerushalmi Yoma 2.1, Yerushalmi Rosh Hashanah, which are actually the same. It's interesting how the Mefarshim Yerushalmi in one place explained it one way, in one place explained it another way, but it's clear that this is the same Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi in Yoma, it's talking about where the Memuna went up to the roof to declare that it's already dawn, and Allah Sashachar that we spoke about before, and Yerushalmi goes on, Amra Eidechad Nola Dishpulon, Vishalas Melon Nos Alpiv. If an aide says that this person was born on Shabbos, so then he can give a birth on Shabbos. The last line is, Rabbi Ami Metaltel Apum Nashia. Rabbi Ami was metaltel alpum nashia based on women. The Amar Shim Shahavas al Susisa, that the sun was on Susisa, and based on that, Rabbi Ami was matted to be metaltel. Over here, the Mefarshim, the Kav Ne'ed and the Pnei Moshe, they have different opinion what Susita is. Is Susita a place, or Susita has to do something totally different? Comes along to Ritbaz, and the Ritbaz says, I don't know what the problem is. I don't know what the Pshat Nisi Yerushalmi is, but one thing I do know. Susita is definitely a place. And indeed, if we go to the next source, in Yerushalmi Rosh Hashanah, Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, here it refers to Susita twice. In the first line it tells us, Amav Yudon Vios, Ilu Shnaim Shiotzer Me'acha Shiru Ba'akum. Two people walk out of a city that's majority Goyim, Kegon Ador Susita, like the city of Susita. So in other words, we see that Susita is a city. And then it's the same Yerushalmi that we saw before. And here the Gersa is, if you look at the line, if you look at the last line, Rabbi Imi Mal, Rabbi Noshim Da'aman Shim Shahabas Al Susita. Rabbi Ami would do a bris based on testimony of women that the son was in Susita. So what do we have over here? We have the city of Susita, which already the Yerushalmi over here tells us that it's an Ir Sheruba Akum. The city of Susita is appears numerous times in Chazal, and the implication that the city is a non-Jewish city. First of all, Lamar Kashma Susita Shiptur Maisus Eretz Tov. It says Vayiftach, he ran away to Eretz Tov. Why is it a good line? It's Potter from Maisus. Chazal says it's talking about Susita. That person ran away there, and here we see the city of Goyim. The Medrash Rabban Echo tells us Tziva Hashem LeYaakov Tziva Sarav. Hashem set up for Yaakov around him around him people who caused trouble, and he gives a few examples of two cities next to each other where one was a Jewish city and one was a Goyish city. And one of the examples that the Yerushalmi gives, that the Medrash gives, is Tveria and Susita. Tveria, we know, of course, is a Jewish city. We know what Tveria is, so we have no doubt about that. And the city that's non-Jewish city is Susita. Just we saw the Yerushalmi over here. It tells us it's in Eir Sheruva Akku. Where is Susita? So Tveria is sitting on the western side of the Kinneret. Susita is pretty positively, I spoke to an expert from the Galil, Chagi Amitzur, and he told me that the identification is absolute. Susita is a hill otherwise known as Hippos, which is on the eastern side of Kinneret, above Kibbutz Ein Gev today. This city in recent years has been excavated and indeed proved to be a city Sheruva Akum, beyond doubt. If in the central Golan every place that excavated had shuls, in the southern Golan all the places had churches. And a clear contrast. And Susita itself, a few churches were found, clearly a non-Jewish city, and for many years. So, as the Ritbah says, it's clear that Susita is a city. So what is Yerushalmi saying? Rabbi Ami did a bris based on women who said that the sun was visible in Susita. Rabbi Ami was sitting in Tveria. And that we have numerous gemaras in the Bavli, in Nida, and in Brachos, and in other places that Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yassi were sitting in Tveria. That's also beyond question. So they're sitting in Tveria, and this child is born at a certain time when the sun is already not visible, is no longer visible in Tveria. So as Rashi already said, Yichal to Mechnis Shabbos with Tveria. So Shabbos is about to begin, and the sun is hiding behind the hills. The people are ready to Mechal Shabbos early because they don't want to be Mechal Shabbos. But what happens when push comes to shove? A baby is born on Shabbos afternoon after the sun is not visible. How are you going to know if it's still halachically Shabbos or it's already Mata Shabbos? And the Nafkamina, of course, is can you do the bris the next Shabbos or do you have to wait to Sunday? So here, it's not a question of Machmir. Here, you make a decision. So the Yerushalmi is saying, Rabbi'imi ma'o pinoshim da'aman shimshah ha'avas al Susita. The women testified that in Susita, there was still sunlight. And if in Susita there's still sunlight, well, then we know the sun has not set yet, and therefore the baby is considered to have been born on Shabbos, and you can do the bris on Shabbos. Or if the case happened on a Friday afternoon, you can do the bris. You do the bris on Friday. For many years, this Yerushalmi bothered me. Understanding the practical application of this Yerushalmi, in other words, understanding the Metzius. How were people able to be sitting in Tveria, knowing that in Susita the sun is still visible? They didn't have watches. Now, if they had watches, they can say, well, the baby was born at 5:45, and someone later will testify that at 5:45, sun was visible in Susita. But they didn't have watches in those days. So how did they know? So for years it bothered me. And so one day, I was riding down into the valley of Tveria towards evening, and over there, so, there I saw, and it's obvious that this is the Pshat and Yerushalmi, and of course whoever wasn't there would not know that this is Pshat and Yerushalmi, but once you're there, you know for sure that this is the Pshat and Yerushalmi, and it was very towards evening, and Tveria has been in the shade because the sun already is hiding behind the mountains, but the eastern side of the Golan Heights is still in the sunlight. And you clearly see the whole eastern Golan, the eastern side of Kinneret, which is the Golan Heights, is still lit up with the sun. So Tveria is in the shade, but the sun is shining on the Golan, and including Susita. So in other words, you can be sitting in Tveria in the evening, half an hour before Ashkia, when the sun is no longer visible in Tveria, but you can see that the sun is visible in Susita. No doubt that this is Pshat Yerushalmi, and based on this, Rabbi Ami passes still day. If so, so then we do have a halachic guideline for paskening what to do in a case where you're sitting in Tveria. When is it day? When is it night? Yerushalmi says, you look farther east. If the sun didn't set on the hill that's farther east from you, so then you know that it's still day. Even though where you are, there's no sunlight because you're blocked out by a mountain, but that's just you're blocked out by a local mountain. But farther east of you, there's still sunlight, so you know that it's still day. So that's a very interesting point. And again, as I said, it's clear from the Yerushalmi that this is Pshat. When you go there, you know that this is Pshat Yerushalmi. One more thing which we'll discuss and that's an interesting thing, is the directions. People didn't have compasses in those days. So how did they know the exact directions? And here we have a very interesting Yerushalmi, which is quoted over there. First of all, Hebrew says 5:1, which is the Bavli, and the Gemara says that you, when it comes to setting the Tchum Shabbos, so you have to make a square around the city, in which the square is parallel to the four directions of the world. So the Gemara says, You look at the tkufa. You look at the seasons. If the sun, and I was if in the beginning of Tkufas Tamas, the longest days, so the sun will rise in the northeastern part of the Shemayim and set in the northwestern part. And in Teves, it'll rise in the southeastern part and set in the southwestern part. So basically, when you see where the sun rises and the sun sets, you're able to know which is east, which is west, which is north, and north, and which is south. The Gemara concludes, these klalim don't work. Why? The sun never rises that far from the northeastern corner of the Shemayim. That's correct, and actually Charlotte doesn't. But if you go farther north, there definitely are places where the sun actually can rise from the north, from the northeastern corner. The Yerushalmi in Erevin, over here, which is quoted, Yerushalmi Erevin, Perek Halacha Aleph, it talks about how they were mechaven the ruchos, how they were able to set, and the Yerushalmi is talking about the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan, how they were able to set. So the Yerushalmi says like this. The Yerushalmi says that in the Mishkan, they had the Aron. And the Aron would set up the ruchos, the Aron would carry itself, and the way the Aron would settle itself, you knew that it's facing the right direction, and problem solved. What about Shiloh and Beis HaLomim? What about Shiloh and what about Shiloh and the Beis HaMikdash? So in the middle of this quote over here, the Amar Rachav Hashem Rishmol Rav Yitzchok Kama Yogu Neviim Harishonim. How much gear, how much effort did they put in Lasa Shar Mizrachi to make the eastern gate Shetehei Achav Matzemes Bo Berachav Dekuvas Teves Bo Berachav Dekuvas Tamuz. How much effort did they put in to make sure that the sun matches it from Alf Dekuvas Teves to Alf Dekuvas Tamuz? In other words, they used observations of the sun to set up the Shar Mizrach, the eastern gate. Probably talking about Shani Kanar, but Shah Elia. The Shami goes on to give a whole list of names of this gate, and they did it by observation of the sun. So this is an interesting thing. In Shiloh itself, to date, the Mishkan has not been found. A Mekom HaMishkan, the Mishkan is not there, but the Mishkan was stood for 369 years, has not been found. The Mekom HaMishkan is an interesting thing. Unfortunately, I don't have the picture to show, but I hope Azad Hashem the picture will go up, if I get rights to it. And in it you see a cut north of city, a cut in the rock, and it's a clearly on an east-west axis, a beautiful, perfect east-west axis. And that was the cut, is like a little hill, and the mountain is cut out, and in it, you know, it's a perfect east-west axis. On the Har HaBayis today, very little remains on the Har HaBayis remains from the Beis HaMikdash itself, but there's an upper platform on the Har HaBayis, and the eastern edge of that upper platform also matches that perfect east-west axis. So again, we see, presumably, this is dating back to the days of the Beis HaMikdash. That was that edge of the platform represents a wall that was there from the days of the Beis HaMikdash. Again, we see that using the sun for making Har HaBayis, Beis HaMikdash. And again, we see that perfect, again, using the sun, just as Chazal tell us, actually matches what we know from Chazal. So to sum it up, of course, it all went based on the sun, and they had astronomers in those days to use whatever as much as possible. Of course, there was always room for mistake, especially the Amon Am. There were some people, you know, Bezdin, who were bucky, but you had individuals who had individuals who didn't walk around with sundials in their pockets, they can make mistakes, and for that Chachamim made the gzeiros to give the extra time to prevent people from doing an aveirah. But as a whole, it was pretty sophisticated. They knew very well when the day begins, when the day ends, the directions, and the different hours of the day.